You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Hey everyone, Yas here, and I just wanted to say it's great to have you join me today because I'm sure we're going to have a fantastic episode. So whether you're here for the first time or if you're one of the repeat loyal listeners of the show, I truly appreciate you. But before we get to today's guest, I just have a small favour to ask, and that's if you could just take a brief moment to hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. Ensure that you share it with all your coaching friends, and don't forget to get in touch, guys. Let me know your thoughts on what you think of today's episode or any of the recent episodes you've listened to. You can do this on Twitter at The Coaches Net. Once again, that's at The Coaches Net. And please make sure you do, as I'd love to hear your thoughts, guys. Anyway, on to today's show. I hope you enjoy it. Have a great day, guys.
The Coaches Network.
Hey, guys. You're now listening to The Coaches Network podcast, a podcast aimed at anyone who's passionate about athlete, talent, and personal development. My name's Coach Yas, and I'm a UEFA A-licensed football coach developer, and content creator. I'll be sitting down with a range of guests to discuss their journeys, their life lessons, and how you can make an impact. Enjoy.
Right, guys, welcome back to the Coaches Network. My name's Coach Yas, and I've got a very special guest for me today. My guest today is Nevin Soraya. Afternoon, Nev. How's it going, man?
Thanks for having me, first of all. I'm great for today. It's not been too manic, so I'm looking forward to getting into this. Not sure if I'm the best placed person to be on, but we'll find out at the end of it. But yeah, I'm good.
You know what, Nev, we've all got a story, and I want to start with sharing yours. So just tell us a little bit about who Nevin Soraya is and what you do, and we'll go from there.
Okay. Basically, I'm a regional coach developer for the PFA. Being a member, it wasn't when I was playing, but as getting older, I did. My B license with the PFA, and my boss at the moment, Jim Hicks, and another chap called Steve Greaves, who works at the FA, were my tutors, and they ignited a real passion in me, so which led me on to like educating myself further in the field and practicing more and making me understand I knew very little, if that makes sense. So but they ignited that passion that I just ran with it, kept practicing, kept educating myself, until I said to myself, right, okay, that's the role I want to be in. Like, that was, it's quite hard to determine what you actually want to be, but that was something for me that led me to being a coach developer, and I worked hard for it. The opportunity came and I took it, and I haven't looked back since, if I'm honest, because I enjoy it so much.
So let's talk about it, because, you know, you talking about, you know, them inspiring you to become a coach developer, and I just remember going back to the start of my journey. I'm talking about right at the beginning when I first did my level one. I walked in on that day and I didn't know that's necessarily what I was thinking at the time, but something attracted me straight. It was, these guys are so lucky. Like, I walked in and I saw these two tutors, you know, delivering the course of, man, these guys get to teach people football. Like, I wish I could do that, you know what I mean? And it's like, so I didn't really know what I was thinking at the time, other than actually, you know what, there's a seed that's been planted now. So what was it for you?
I guess it like you said earlier, it's a journey that got me to that point, if that makes sense. So without trying to drag out my story, but I got towards the end of my playing career where I knew I didn't really want to play anymore. My body was saying, stop playing. And I was kind of like, everyone's telling me, you know, get your coaching badges. So I went to do a level two, but actually as a scholar at Brentford, our group was failed on our level two because the lads messed about. It was off season. I am not holding my hands up to that. That wasn't me. But as a group, I think they had enough of us and went, right, you're not getting a certificate, you haven't done the work. So I had to go back to a local a county FA and do my level two, which took a while. The guys were excellent. There was lots of mums and dads on the course, people that were like, I was in awe of, because they were trying to educate themselves. They got full-time jobs, they've got, you know, kids, they've got all of that kind of stuff. And I was like, wow. Whereas I just kind of turned up, do them a bit and learn a little bit and leave. But they were like, yeah, I've got to go and get the kids now. I was a bit younger, go to training tonight. And I was like, wow, that's a lot. I had to go back for a game or something. But I've got to be honest, the tutor was great, but it was quite regimental in what we learned. So it was, hey, you're going to do 6 minutes of this, you're going to do 6 minutes of that. And I guess part of that was because I could play a little bit. The other guys were just sort of volunteers at their grassroots club. So they look to you to try and give some information as well, which I didn't have that information. I had it in my head, but how you relate that to someone else was really difficult. But it was really 6 minutes of this, 6 minutes of this, and this is what you're going to end with. And obviously, having played for a long time, you just kind of, things happen naturally. You don't understand that there's a reason for that. So I didn't come away inspired, let's say. I still was coaching, but I have to be honest, I didn't take, you know, I can't say, oh, it blew my mind and I changed everything that I did. Changed a few things without a doubt, and they taught me a few things. But then when I got to the B license, I guess naively, I went in going, I'm going to get my certificate, and didn't really think too much past that. And then they really provoked you to think, not to say just listen to me and do what I say and do what I do. It was like, well, what do you think? And I remember getting caught in the headlights going, I don't really know what I'm thinking. You know, can't you tell me what to do and I'll do it? And that was uncomfortable. That was really, you know, and I get that's, but it made me think. And then you start thinking about the game. You'll know yourself, yes, from the amount of time you've done it. There's different eyesights to look at football when you're a coach, when you're a player, when you're a developer. The view looks very different. So it just ignited me to go, actually, you've got to think for yourself. We can give you some tools to put on a session, but actually you've got to think about it yourself. Know why you're doing things, like really understanding that why factor and why you're doing it, and then how you're going to do it. And I haven't really thought about that before, if I'm honest.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting one, because, you know, I guess certainly think back to when I started my coach education experience massively. And like you said, you know, it's less of, you know, us as coach developers, if you like, telling the people what to do, more giving, you know, sharing some ideas and really checking, challenging and probing their thoughts and their considerations around the ideas that we've shared, if you like.
Yes. Yeah.
And really maybe kind of, if you like, you know, lighting the spark for them to kind of develop their own ideas. But, you know, like you said, you know, really delving into that why piece and then getting them to understand, well, where is that come from, when and how do you then develop the idea and how do you justify the idea, right? I think I'm just thinking about the journey that you shared there so far. And, you know, you talked there about there being a naivety and you know, maybe you didn't leave that feeling inspired, and you've gone into the you know, you said mentioned the naivety of going into your B license where you were challenged. Do you think that's one of the challenges that, and one of, I guess, the major differences that you sometimes might have as an ex player, even at a certain level, right, where there is that expectation, or, you know, I already know the game, and, you know, what, obviously having your experiences now and maybe going on that course of the county FA for your level two and then doing the, you know, in comparison to the PFA course that you might have done as an apprentice, how did that differ? Because obviously, you know, you'd like to think that there's, as best as possible, level playing field in terms of the processes, but actually there also needs to be recognition and understanding that, do you know what, there'll be insights and experiences and knowledge of the game that you might have as a player that you might not necessarily have as the typical mum and dad on, you know, just showing up and supporting a grassroots club, right? So how does that in any way, shape or form, if at all, shape or dictate the content of the courses?
It's a brilliant thought, by the way, and it's something that we think about a lot. They're completely different. The courses that are you know, a level two course and the ones we deliver, but they're so different for the right reason, I think, because I think if you go to, you know, a county FAE course, not that I've seen any lately, so maybe I'm speaking out of turn, but the information that's needed for the people on that course looks very different to, say, a scholar. So I think, well, I do it with scholars all the time, and the one thing you never have to worry about is them having an idea for a session plan of what to do. Right? They could, honestly, you give them 30 seconds and go, oh, can you think of a session? It might be the one that they've done that day, but it they can think of them like that. Whereas someone that hasn't been in that involvement for a few years or train every day, it's a little bit more difficult, because I think it's normally slightly older than what a scholar is when you go for a level two or a UA4C, sorry. And with being a little bit more mature, you think of more things, whereas a 16, 17-year-old at a professional club is not thinking about anything other than, oh, okay, I've got six players, I'll do this. So
yeah.
I think they have to be tailored differently. But at the same time, what an FA County course will give people that structure and that idea of planning and why you do things that a player doesn't quite understand. And I think that's quite a hard process for them to get their head around, even when they get to B license.
And I'm just thinking, because one of the things I've always said is, you know, whether people think it's right or wrong, I think then, like you said, it has to be tailored to the individuals, right, and the group that you're working with. And I think from a standpoint of where you're working with players or people that have a stronger playing experience, if you like, I've always said that if we look at the four corner model as an example, I think when it comes to delivering that from a coach development capacity, if we're looking at those courses that maybe the PFA do run, I'm thinking, well, actually, no, it should definitely be focused more, much more on the right-hand side, where we're looking at more psych and social elements, right? Because, like you said, you know, typically, if we look at the demographic of the people that typically go on the courses, well, they're scholars, so they're only going to be a certain age, right? And so they've only got limited life experiences that you might have to then utilize the course to kind of engage them with around different considerations. Where, you know, your traditional courses, if you like, your more public ones, if you, for lack of a better way of describing it, is, well, actually, those are the people who probably haven't got as much of that technical, tactical, that physical element of understanding of what the game is requiring, demanding of the players, but they probably do have a day-to-day life, or kids, or they work in the real world where they've developed those transferable skills that might exist around the psych and the social corners, right? And it's just, you know, finding a way to bridge that gap and obviously tailor it to the needs of the individuals. But I think one of the things that's always interesting, linking back into what you said earlier, is that you was on a course as a player and people used to look at you as, oh yeah, you know, Nev can do it. But actually, the ability to do something and then the ability to break it down and teach that to someone else is completely different.
Absolutely. I was more scared than them, by the way. I just was able to master that a little bit, but I was certainly more scared than them. But I think that's an unbelievable point you've made. So I think we get a freedom in the PFA in terms of we've got a structure that we work to, but we can deliver it in our style, in how we see fit. So there's some that are experts in tactics and technical stuff. I think I'm more probably the personal side of things. So those skills that a parent has, or, you know, a volunteer has, is far beyond probably the skill set that I have, or certainly did have at that point. But what we ask, or what I ask, is, and we do this as a group really in our South region, is every player, whether it's a scholar or a pro, when they come on a course, one of the first questions we ask are, you know, grab a partner, list the 5 or 10 things that you think it takes to become a professional footballer. Because you sit with scholars and that's what they're trying to achieve. Or you sit with players that, like you said at the beginning, we fail to reflect on our own journey, if that makes sense. We just kind of go with the flow. And I can guarantee you 99% of the things that they list are not on that left-hand side of the model. So they're never... I get talent a few times, but you never get the technical elements or the tactical elements, and you certainly, the physical aspect these days never comes into it, because everyone's such a physical specimen that's not, you know, that never comes up. every other thing is on that right-hand side, whether it be, you know, a psychological factor in terms of determination or resilience, because they've all had highs and lows. Even the young kids have had highs and lows. And it's, you can see their sort of mind go when you explain, well, if this is what it takes to become a professional, and we're not doubting that because everyone lists the same type of things. We've got to include that in the training sessions that we provide. So how do you do that? And then you can see them sitting there going, well, and then I think with sort of older players on the B list, you can see then they start to overthink because it's a lot to take in. But like you say, it comes down to finding that balance. And,
yeah.
And that's,
do you think that there's, you know, just listening to what you're saying there about, you know, listing those 10 characteristics, and you know, I'm always curious about this type of stuff, as you know, whether it's at a elite end or whether it's just kind of a recreational piece, right, in understanding. Do you think there's some cliches that people just go along with because it's just what's been said, right? So you're talking there about, you know, these 10 characteristics and majority of them being on the right hand side, but I do wonder at that age, you know, 16 17 18, whether they're doing that, it's just because, oh yeah, determination, yeah, resilience, but actually, what does it really mean to them? Do they really believe, have they actually really thought about it? Have they dug deep and I understood, actually, do you know what, it's not just about those things there, it could be this or that and this, do you know what I mean? Have they actually considered wider things, or are the lists very much similar because that's just what they've been drummed into, do you know what I mean?
It's a brilliant point, I guess. 100% there in life. I think most people, if you ask the question, you try and give the answer that you think that person wants to hear. That's true of pros or scholars or anyone. I would have done the same when sitting in the course. But what we're trying to do is then you start delving into the why. So those lists create that conversation. So exactly how you explain the podcast, it's not like a set of questions. It's like a conversation that flows. With scholars is slightly different because you're trying to engage them to actually join the conversation. With older players, it's trying to tailor them to not just speak about what they're thinking and listen to other points of view.
But so, even then, right, and I think it's a great point, but even then, don't you think we're sometimes in danger of just assuming because they're older, they've had an opportunity to share and understand how to share, and vice versa, because they're younger, maybe they don't understand how to share, or that we actually have, do you know what I mean? I think, you know, these are stereotypes that obviously we've got maybe, you know, subconscious bias around, right?
We have, absolutely have. And I still haven't quite got myself to that point where you understand where those biases are so deep ingrained in people, absolutely. And I guess those conversations, you can, it's less about me, I guess. Once you provoke sort of a conversation, like, you will know, yes, like, what you're trying to do, I guess, going back to my B license with Jim and Steve Greaves, is Jim would pose the question in the morning, and I'm quite reserved. I'd like to stay in my own little lane and not be, you know, that's how I was. And before you know it, there's 20 people having a conversation. He's sitting down having a cup of tea. So, like, and I'm not at that stage, right? But it was that conversation amongst each other where you learn more, because you might have a debate. It might be, yes, you disagree with me, but as long as we can do it respectfully and we can talk, I guarantee, even if you don't get it in the room, you'll go away and think about it. And that might improve 1%. Yeah. It might improve 50% of what you do. So that's what we're trying to achieve, right?
100%, and I think, you know, that in itself is a skill as well. And I think, you know, one of the biggest kind of conversations I've had with a lot of people recently is the differences between, you know, people say, oh yeah, coach, if you can coach, then you can be a coach developer. And I don't think it quite works that way. And I don't even think you need to be the best coach to be a good coach developer, and vice versa, right? I just think coach development for me is much more about, right, how do we get people thinking?
Yes.
How do we get people thinking? Yeah. How do we simplify some concepts, right? Coaching is like, yeah, you've been able to do it on the grass, but then actually it's just like that age-old comparison of, you know, great players don't always make great coaches, right? Because actually they might understand how to do something themselves, but they teaching that to someone else, obviously, you know, is another breakdown, right? So I guess from that perspective, one second. Sorry, mate.
That's all right.
Yeah, good. So from that perspective, then we look, you know, we look at, and think, if we're going to be coach developers and we're going to set that scene, a lot of it's just about planting seeds, right? And you, I think you make a great point in understanding that a lot of the information doesn't even come from the conversations that have been initiated, but it's the conversation which then come off the back of the initial conversation, right? So I guess from that then, in your experience, what's been some of the most influential conversations that you've had in those moments? You know, when you think, right, you know, actually that's really made me think differently about what I'm doing. And, you know, and you kind of shared a little bit of that in terms of just being asked what your opinion was, and just for you to start to think about it already got you thinking, wow, a bit of a deer in the headlights moment, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think on my own personal journey, that was a big one. So like, I remember 3 days into the course, and they were talking about philosophy, and this will sound ridiculous now, but everyone's a bit tentative, you know, and there's some good players in that room, by the way, that have played, and eventually I was brave enough to put my hand up. So I'm saying, so what you're saying is I should have my own philosophy, and I've got to think for myself, it doesn't have to be anyone else. And you can see Steve's face kind of go, hallelujah, finally someone, you know, is starting to sink in. But that's 3-4 days into the course. So that was a moment that I always think back to and go, and this is what I've got to try and get people to open their mind a little bit. I think, I don't know if there's a specific moment, but if you give people the opportunity to talk, and actually it helps them, because we've all got a story. You will have one equally as interesting as mine, probably more interesting than mine. And I find people fascinating, and we, especially footballers, I can't speak outside, but the guys I work with, they're trained, and like you say, we're you know, stiff upper lip, don't engage, you know, just do as you're told, that kind of thing. And you can just see it in people's face when you bring in the people telling about their story, and actually they get very passionate about it. Sometimes good things, sometimes bad things, sometimes light bulb moments, but you can just see it on their face, and you can just see them, or it'll go quiet, and you'll observe like you do to check how the room's doing. And you can just see people either in a conversation or daydreaming, but you, it sounds weird, but you can see if you've really hit a note, and they're now going, you know, what does that mean to me? What am I thinking about? And they're actually thinking for themselves. And I think that, I try not to overlook that. It's about the person. So going into scholars, like, you're completely right. They have certain skills, and certain, they're so young that they haven't got certain elements. My take on it is, what we're trying to do is give them some skills that one day they go, I quite enjoyed that, I might come back to that. Because in the time that I have with them and their busy schedules, I have to be honest, I can't make them to want to be coaches right there and then. A few do, but not, you know, not many. Whereas if you're going into a course, say, with some Saturday teams and that are maybe going for results on the weekend, or managing their son's team, or you're trying to give them a process to plan sessions that they're going to go and, you know, next week build upon, and the more that they do that. But these scholars, we have a few that go and work for the clubs, but the majority will go, I've got training tomorrow, and that's what I'm thinking about. And that's completely fine because of their age. So it depends on the person, is the point I'm getting at, is, and we are all different, you know. So I had an ex-pro in, who's had a glittering career, who's in the office with me the other day, and what I finally understand is he doesn't want to be a Premier League manager right now. He's focused on his family. He wants to learn a little bit about this so that in a few years he'll hopefully go onto his A license once he gets a bit more practice. Now, I think a younger version of myself would be like, come on, like, let's do this, let's do this, let's do this. But that's just not where that person's at. So I think it's understanding people, which is quite hard. You'll know, yes, when you do courses and you've got, you know, 30 people in the room, that becomes difficult to learn everyone and everything about them. But it is our job to try, I think. And then we can advise or help them develop in the way that they want and what they need, I guess.
100%. You know, one of the kind of key things that, you know, really keeps coming at me as you're speaking there is about individuality, the person, their own journey, their own wants and their own needs, understanding the individual, right? So I want to take that as a bit of an opportunity to maybe understand your journey a little bit more. Obviously, you know, I'm sitting here on the call with you right now. I'm looking at someone who probably isn't a typical face in the game. So, let's just get some clarity. What is your ethnic background?
I'm Indian. Both parents hail from India and moved here in the 70s, and then me and my brother came along. So we've grown up in this. I live in Hayes, and we grew up around this area, and you know, there's been a lot of change since then in terms of ethnicities and stuff. We were the only, you know, South Asian family in this street, probably in the town, if I'm honest with you. And now when you go around the town, that's changed completely. But it was different back, you know, and you're aware of that. Not too bad. I had a great childhood, but you were aware of that fact at certain points.
Yeah. So and obviously, you know, you going into the world of football and actually becoming a scholar at the time. What was that like? You know, because obviously it's almost unheard of now, let alone back then.
Yeah, I was luckily blissfully ignorant and didn't really. You did know about it, but you didn't really pay too much attention because we're so selfish. You're just thinking football, and then you're gonna have moments being of my ethnicity. You're gonna have moments where that gets brought up for you. And then you think about it, but then you've got that goal of trying to be a professional and trying to make it in the game. But I think that takes over that, you know, that awkwardness of going. Plus, I've got to be honest, as a scholar, one of my teammates was also from an Indian background, and we never ever spoke about it, not once. He was a great guy. We never spoke about it once, but I think there was probably a little bit of reassurance with that, if that makes sense, of knowing, you know, you're not always alone and stuff like that. So, it depends how much you want to know.
No, I think it's a great point there because, you know, I mean, I think, you know, you hear about all the stories that exist and all the challenges that exist around, you know, having diverse, you know, I guess squads and playing groups and obviously even among coaching staff and obviously managerial staff. And from my perspective, I'm always thinking about it. From my perspective, I'm always thinking to myself, like, might look alike, but actually our journeys are so different, right? And I think as time's gone, like I said, you know, it's rare enough to see it now as a South Asian in the game. One can only imagine what it was like for you going back to when you actually were coming through. But maybe just talk to us a little about, you know, about the importance of maybe having that representation for you in not just what it would have meant for you maybe as a player then, because, you know, by the sounds of it, it was almost, as you mentioned there, it wasn't really spoken about, which there was an element of, okay, was it not spoken about because it didn't need to be spoken about, or was it not spoken about because in your particular instance you had someone that you could relate to in some capacity, or was it more a case of it was just not made feel safe to speak about, if that makes sense?
Absolutely. I make a point of being honest. I'm, colleague of mine that was actually a couple of years younger than me at Brentford is Rish Rahman, who runs the AIMS program for the PFA in trying to build a support network for South Asian players. And excuse me, I didn't see the value in it, but when you see players interacting, etc., you go, oh, that would have been good. that would have been good to have, because there's no getting away from it. You are alone. Like, I was probably used to it. So growing up when I played in teams, I was the only Indian there. I was lucky my dad loved football, and I had an older brother that loved football and played in teams. So I just followed their footsteps. And I think, I can't say I was an exception. I think I started from a very young age. I had an older brother and a dad that wanted to play football. And that wasn't always the case for South Asian families in the day, or any, you know, minority at the time. So that probably propelled me, if that makes sense. So, but every team I played in, I was normally the only Asian player. That's, I can't say that it ever bothered me. But then when you would get the racist comment, which you didn't, not so much as a kid, but as you get older, going into the youth team, when I made it as a YTS, as we called it then, it wasn't a problem. But then there might be a joke from a teammate, someone that you're close to, and listen, I don't know about you, but that sticks in your brain. So I remember it now, 25 years later, where most conversations you don't, for example. So I can't remember too much, probably because I'm getting too old. But, you know, back in the day, I'd say, yeah, just play football. It was fine. And it was fine. But there's moments that happen that you don't forget. So they obviously left their impression, whether that be someone that you played with, something that was happening in training, something that happened to a player of any sort of origin that was different than the norm, that would affect you because you'd feel bad for them because you know why it's happening. So there are elements of tough, and then when you reflect, you go, it plants that seed because we're so rare coming through. You go, did I only get my scholarship because of, and I know that's not true. I do, but you go, maybe they just wanted to increase the diversity. I know that's not true, but it plants that seed.
Yeah, you know, 100%. I mean, I can relate to that in many respects. In that, you know, but you know, the thing that always comes back to me, Nev, is that, you know, it only takes a certain number of opportunities offered to you before you realize, actually, you know, maybe I've got some skin in the game. Regardless of what aspect or what area of the game you're in or whatever field you're in, like, you know, you're not going to keep getting opportunities if you're not actually good enough in the end of the day, right?
Yes,
you've got to have shown some sort of competency, and then, you know, obviously over time you build your credibility. But I think it's important for us to kind of have this conversation, because I think there'll be so many people that are probably listening to this that just never get an insight on some of the challenges that do exist, right?
Yeah.
From that perspective, and it's almost, it sounds cliche to say, but, in you know, we're in 2024 now, right? And these things are still happening, and to the point where some people could be listening to this thinking, blimey, does, like, I didn't even know that stuff existed, let alone still existed. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess, you know, from your perspective, you know, maybe you can share some insights around, I guess, have you found it that maybe players and even coaches that you've maybe worked with from more diverse backgrounds have got, maybe taken to you a little bit more, and what impact that has had, and in what shape, you know, in what way, shape or form, I wonder, not to say that you wouldn't have had a positive journey as you have had now, but how might that have impacted your journey and your maybe your inspiration to even become a coach and now a coach educator, if you had people that look like you on that journey?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I think something that I've decided on a little while ago, really, soon after joining this job, is that when you're from certain backgrounds, like, that can weigh very heavy on you to go, you know, like I say, sometimes if I didn't know Jim Hicks pretty well, I would ask the question of myself in my role now, am I just filling a quota? But I was lucky that I've met him. And
you know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I know the man that he is, the principles that he has, so I don't have to really question that, if that makes sense. But I made this sort of pact with myself that I'm not one that will go and shout to the houses. I can't. It's just not in my nature to go and, like, you know, self-advertise, self-promote, to try and be that sort of guiding light for anyone that might go, oh, he looks like me and I could do, you know, yeah. I could do that. So I just stuck with, be the very best that you can be to help people in our role. So you'll know yourself, yes, is all it is trying to help people improve, not me tell them how to do things, because lots of people have more knowledge than me. I can assure you of that. So it's just trying to help people be the best that you can be,
yeah,
and trust in that process. And I did that as a player unconsciously. I tried to be the best player that I could be as a professional and a scholar, not so much in non-league. So I've learned a lesson from not being the best that you can be, and what impact that can have, basically.
And I think you make a great point, right? Because I think, you know, if you're doing it with the, I guess for me, whether it's the coach towards your players, whether it's a coach developer, right? I think, if your intention is just to kind of support people and you're doing good work, I think that gets noticed anyway. I don't think you have to tell. I think with anything in life, right? You know, if you're shouting from the rooftops about how good you are, it's probably more from insecurity than anything else, right? In my opinion, yeah. Now, I could be right. You know, everyone's different. Some people could be subconsciously not even realizing that's what's happening. But I think at the bottom line, I think what speaks volumes is when you've got other people feeding back to, hey, do you know what, actually. You know, that course I did with Nevis, you know, just changed my whole perception of what coaching looks like or what it could mean to be a coach. And, you know, you mentioned the word earlier about inspire, right? And that course I did with Nevin 2-3 years ago, that has inspired me to continue my journey. And I think that's the best you can hope for when you're a coach developer. And, you know, sometimes people say to me, they ask me, well, why coach development? Yes. I said, because why not? Like, you know, you get to have the potential of impact is so great, right? In that.
Yeah.
Fundamentally, we've all got one thing in common. We all love the game. But not everyone has to be a coach.
No.
And, you know, the opportunity to kind of, for me, and I think it sounds like it's similar for you in that, I just want to help people. I enjoy helping people. And to be able to do that and combine that with football, it's just like it's almost like a dream come true, right? We've got an opportunity to kind of impact people's lives in a positive way. hopefully more positive than negative anyway, through football, yeah. Right? And I think, you know, what else could we want? And I think the interesting thing, and I think the one of the key things for me as well within that is understanding we're all going to be different in our skills that we can offer, right? So even whether I'm a coach, whether I'm a coach developer, you talked about it earlier in understanding that, you know, maybe your skills or your abilities were more linked towards understanding the individual and building relationships is kind of how I understood what you shared. But
yeah, agreed.
How important is that? Like, you know, at what point do you as an individual start to understand that that's where your strength lies? Because I think one of the challenges that does come with being a coach and even as a coach developer, right, is almost like an unwritten expectation or unspoken expectation that, oh, you just need to be good at everything,
yeah,
rather than actually, do you know what? Yeah. The question I always throw to coaches and again to think about is, if there was a team of a team of 100 coaches, and each coach was just responsible for one duty, what would be the duty that you'd get assigned to, based on that being your thing?
I don't know. Maybe bringing the drinks over. I'm not sure. But it's so interesting. I had a conversation yesterday with someone I haven't seen in over 20 years. So we played together at Brentford when we were younger. He's been at the club since that point. He's still at the club now. And he was talking about, you know, like what he brings to the table and how has he been so adaptable, not only as a player, because he started as a striker. He made his debut as a right winger. He ended up being a right back, etc. And then went on to coach and went in it. He's been first team, back down, back up, loads of things. And like, what is it that you bring in it? It's that he's like, you do adapt. So he said, as a coach, he spent the first 2 years thinking it was all about winning, but he was doing, you know, maybe the under 21s. And you could see it in his face where he's just thinking, I can't believe I was just concentrating on winning. Because he's obviously experienced as a coach now, and he knows or believes that it should be all about the development at that stage. So I just think we don't always know, do we, what we bring. So I don't know about you, yes, but with us, we run courses in the summer because obviously off season for players that are still playing. And we have a team of four, and we all have completely different strengths. So when we plan a course, what we'll do is sort of delegate, discuss, debate who's best at, well, first of all, what do the candidates need? And yeah, then how we provide the best thing for those candidates. And some things, the more sort of empathetic things and workshops are probably more suited to my skill set. I work with a chap called David Bridges. Well, you put him in the grass, talk about football or tactics, and this guy comes alive, where sometimes I'm in the headlights watching what he does. Does that make sense? So I think it's an understanding with your colleagues. I've got another one, Louise Newstead, who, you know, she'd never tell anyone that she played for England 30 times. She's got this wealth of knowledge, but she's really quiet, but she brings a different skill set. So she challenges me to any feedback, just ask a question. So like, I'm still working on that now. We give that to the candidates to do when they feedback to each other. But so I'm not sure exactly where I fit in, but the more personable stuff, without a doubt. But it depends who you're working with.
Yeah, and I think everything that you just said is spot on, and it transfers itself and applies itself to actually being part of a coaching team as well, right? And understanding, well, look, if me and Nev are working together with this group of players, well, actually, if Nev's the guy that, you know, he's better, you know, he's well organized and he's better at maybe leading the overall session, and I'm better at, I guess, interacting with the players on an individual level, then let's not ignore that. Let's embrace that. Do you know what I mean? And then, you know, and if there is a conversation that takes place, and we say, do you know what, Nev, you know, this is an area for development for me, I'd like to kind of lead on a few, and an area for development might be for you to work with the individual, then let's have that conversation. But let's understand why we're doing what we're doing. Let's do it meaningfully, right?
It's brilliantly put. Yes, and I think that's exactly the environment that I've come into, that well, they've created before I came in, and then we're trying to continuously develop that. And we have a policy of like leaving your egos at the door, and it's very easy with the people that I work with. I understand not everyone's as lucky as I am with the people that they work with, but that's important. What you just said there is we don't just sort of pigeonhole ourselves and say, right, this is what I'm good at. We know that, but we also know that I'm not going to develop other areas. And if I don't develop other areas by putting myself in an uncomfortable place, I can't improve, which means I can't improve the people that I deal with. So we run courses ourselves within clubs. But if I don't have those different spokes to my wheel, then those people are going to miss out. So it is understanding what you're good at, but it's more important to understand what you're not good at and how you're going to improve that. And 100%.
That's something I'm still working on. Yeah, 100%. And I think it's an ever-growing process, right? And so I guess just to build on that then, you know, looking at where you're at now, just talk to us what, you know, from a day-to-day level, what does your role look like? And, you know, what are some of the biggest challenges that you face?
The day-to-day is, so there's 15 coach developers across the country, and we service every professional club that we have, and we get allocated certain clubs. So for example, mine are Watford, Arsenal, FC Wimbledon, Oxford, Luton, and QPR. You know, regionally, you know, geographically, that's why they're kind of my clubs. And part of our role within there is what I think is most important is we give the scholars in each of those clubs, we get them to do a UEFA C course. I'm really strong in that belief because it's something the PFA gives to our members, but as scholars, but the world of being a scholar is, or an academy player is a harsh old world. And even though you're a great player, you must be to be in that room. The likelihood is 80% won't be, you know, 80% or even higher won't be at that club in 2 years' time. So, I personally, and I'm sure my department agrees, is I think that's essential that these guys get a qualification, that if they find themselves, you know, having to drop down the ladder or whatever it is, or look for a different career, at least they've got something that they can go, oh, I can go and get some work now. So that's strong for me. And then it's about working with the coaches, the players in those clubs. So some want a B license. And then we might put on a bespoke course for them within the club. I have a few running at the moment, and I've got, selfishly, I love them because you get such an insight into a current player and in some good clubs, all different as well, bringing something different to the table. So I learn loads from those guys that come on the course. We also run, so my sort of area at the moment is counter-attacking. So away from being in the clubs, we were fortunate enough to go to Qatar to watch the World Cup, and what we did was build a presentation, probably groups of sort of two and three, and we take them into clubs, we present them to staff, whether it be academy staff or whether it be first team staff, and report our findings. But we're trying to keep that essence of, we do that by eye, we use stats, etc., to back up what we see, but it's all by eye. So that's really interesting. And I carry on the counter-attacking. So I'll look at every WSL game, same with the Premier League, and I'll record what I consider as a counter-attack, build a presentation around that information, just to try and share with people on our courses or club staff that we go into. So I find that fascinating. And things like, you know, study tours, you know, like going to Qatar, that's not, I understand, I'm very privileged to have been able to do that. We're still hoping to go to Germany, but you know, because of the cost, only a couple of staff went out to Australia for the Women's World Cup. We're all at the Women's Euros, and you just get an insight from being inside the stadium. It's there's something about it that maybe it's just that little buzz or something, and then you're there for a particular reason. So it's, yeah, I'm very privileged and very lucky, and But that allows us to give actual genuine information that can help coaches improve and understand and challenge coaches of what we think automatically and actually what the reality is. And that's really important from our point of view.
I can only imagine, obviously, you know, throughout those experiences there, you know, the amount of insights you might have picked up, not just from an individual level, but just even just learning off your colleagues and even the people around you. So I guess, you know, one of the key things I kind of really hope that this podcast does do is allow people to be a fly on the wall in our conversation, but more specifically, be able to really kind of walk away and think about some stuff that they maybe can apply in their own journey. So, you know, my question to you would be this. Obviously, having been a player to a certain standard yourself, and now obviously working as a coach and later on a coach educator, as you are now, what maybe some of the key things that you wish you knew at the start of your journey that you now know as a coach and a coach developer? Like what some of the things, the top things you think, you know, actually, if I knew this stepping into this career as a coach or as a coach developer, that yeah, this just would have set me off on the right, or, you know, hit the ground running, if you like.
Yeah, that's a great question. It's a difficult question. I don't have a magic answer. I think the thing that I've learned and look back on, and like I say, some of those courses I went into very naively, but nothing happens overnight. Mm. If you want to be an expert in your field, there's no reason you can't be. Nothing at all. But it doesn't just happen at a click of a finger. So you can't go on a course and then become a world leading coach. As much as I wish I was that good that I could do that, it's a set of ideas and principles and thought provoking things that you've got to take away and practice. And I didn't, my own journey, I was a scholar and I was a professional, and we, you know, working hard wasn't an option. You just did that. And I think dropping into non-league as a player, I gave up for a little while because I wasn't mature enough to understand, you know, I had some really good opportunities to join non-league teams.
What you just said, it just sparked another thought for me, right? And it just always takes me back to this thing, where I'm sure you've been there, and I know I definitely have, and I know so many other people probably been in this moment where growing up, you know, your parents are telling you something and you're just like, nah. And you later realize it, right? So what, let's just think about it from a coaching perspective then. What are some of those things where you think, yeah, I was told about this, or I never quite understood that, but actually you had to go through an experience. You're like, okay, I get what they meant now. Have you ever had those moments related in your coaching career?
Oh, 100%. I mean, in the coaching career, yes, absolutely. So I think, I don't know if it's someone else tell you, people tell you things and they're right, but you might not remember the actual wording that they said.
Yeah.
I mean, the biggest lesson for me, like you said, it's more about the individual, is how I approach things. So I remember reading there's a book called Legacy. I don't know if you've read it, about the All Blacks, right? It's quite a popular book, and it's all about that environment that you create. And it was like, there was, I don't know if I can say this on your podcast, but there's a no, can I say it?
Yeah, you go for it.
Yes. Yeah. So there's a no dickheads rule, right? And I thought, oh, this is amazing, because I'm sure people will think that of me, but I certainly played with some people that I would put in that bracket, if that makes sense, right? So, and I'm sure they would say, you know, say the same of me. So, and I thought, this is brilliant. And then I was doing my A license at the time. So I'd just taken on mainland women who were, you know, would lose predominantly every week. And I went in and I'm like, this is how we're going to be. And this is the rule we're going to have. We're going to have a no dickheads rule and all that kind of stuff. And these guys are phenomenal. You know, they would listen. They would still share their opinion, but they would listen and try, and they would work hard. And it took me probably a couple of months to go, you got to know people before you even think about putting in any of these type of rules, or, you know, enforcing your own views on people. So I've still got a lot of work to do, but I get that taught me to just listen, observe, and actually shut your mouth for a bit and think about things before you speak, I suppose.
Yeah. And it goes back to that age old saying, right? You know, you got 2 ears and one mouth for a reason, right? So spend, you know, at least spend more time listening than you do talking, and you'll find out. And it's crazy because, you know, like you said, I fully agree with you, and I think the more and more time I spend, especially when working with players, and even as a coach developer, you know, you spend more time just listening. Like, okay, well, where are you going with this, or where are you coming from with that? And it's almost like through experience, I think I'd like to believe I've got to a point where, through better understanding, you know, through listening, I'm able to ask more specific and relevant questions, which then allow, you know, the person I'm engaging with to kind of really connect their own dots.
Yeah.
And I think that's the beauty of it, right? You just plant a seed.
But that's, you know, that's what you've done throughout this conversation. Is you haven't come in with a set of questions. You've let me talk, which is not something that should be advised, but you've let me talk and provoke, you know, you're provoking thought from my side of things, which shows the skill set that you've got. And that's it's overlooked sometimes. And I still get it wrong. So you go in, and because you've got this information that you want to give someone because you really want to help them, but they're not in that space to receive that information yet. So sometimes most of the time, it's just about understanding and listening first to see, okay, I think this person needs probably a little bit more of this, or I need to stop talking about this because that's not relevant at the moment. So, it's an art form I haven't perfected yet, but we're getting there. We're working on it. So I think it's invaluable, if I'm honest.
100%. So obviously, Nev, you know, you're in this role right now. What are what does the future hold for you? Where to next? What are you looking forward to?
I always get embarrassed by this question because you should have like this perfect mapped out life, right? And people have even taught me along my journey of going, you know, you should set a map of what you want to achieve. And do you know what? Yes, all I want at the moment is be excellent at what you do. Help some people. So I went from a coach to a coach developer because as a coach, you can affect 15, 16 people, you know, depending on your squad, or 9, 10, depending on the age groups. As a coach developer, I get the opportunity to, if I do my job well, impact 16, 17 coaches or more that impact, you know, they provide a better service.
Yeah.
So I'm not the finished article in that sense. So that's my only goal at the moment is be good, get better, keep going.
Yeah, and I'm smiling as well, because literally what you've just said is exactly what I say to people and say, why coach development? I said, because the potential for impact is far greater. I mean, I can work with a group of 16 players, or I can work with a group of 16 coaches who have 16 players each. And then, you know, if my message is getting further out and further out, then obviously I'm having a wider impact, right? But I think the bit that's really interesting that you talked about having a map, and, you know, you get told that you need to have a map, but actually, maybe not having a map of what's next is because you're where you want to be.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And being in a place where you want to be is just, I don't need a map. I just need to enjoy it.
And that's, I think, yes, that's something as humans we forget sometimes. Like, we all want, well, not everyone, but most of us want more money. We want, you know, a bigger house, and we want to provide for our families a bit more and all that kind of stuff. But it's, you got to love what you do, right? And I'm very lucky to be in a place where I love what I do. I can see, you know, being on this call, I can see the smile on your face when you, something registers and you think about, you know, like how you're impacting these coaches and why you're doing what you're doing. So what I admire is that you're impacting people that listen to this call. So, I'm not sure how much knowledge I've spread, but between our conversation, there'll be things that people disagree with. But if we get them thinking, it's a massive thing that you're doing.
And I think that's the beauty of it, though, isn't it, Nev? I mean, the conversations I have with whoever comes on the podcast is not about right, wrong. It's not about agreeing or disagreeing. It's about, here's a perspective. Have you considered it?
Yeah. Yes.
Or here's a journey. Can you relate? And if you can't, what could relating to this journey and understanding this journey do for your development? And how could it add more considerations to how you operate in your space, whether that be as a player, a coach developer, or whatever other, you know, involvement you have, or if you're just an enthusiast about people, do you know what I mean? So yeah, I think that's the key.
I think that's a brilliant point. I think going back to a couple of sentences ago where you talked about like what's had an impact on me, I think, so one as a player, so when I was sorry, mate, if I'm going off.
No. This is brilliant. Yeah, go for it, man.
But like when I played and I was a scholar and a turned pro, I remember seeing a poster and I was on this poster. So it was about like, I won't say the name of the company, but it was about diversity. And I was on there and I'm like, oh, you know, like I'm thinking I've made it and I'm on this poster. Oh, a little kid from Hayes, you know. And there was three other players on there. Three players I've never met. I remember one's name was Harpal Singh. I forget the other lads. But across the country, there must have been us three as Asian players that were professionals or scholars. And it took me till a long time later to sort of now reflect and go, I never had one phone call from that company or, you know, they didn't ask permission, not fast about that, but it was like, they were promoting how good they are, obviously. Okay, but there was no support. You understand? There wasn't a phone call to say, okay, this must be tough or how can we help you? And at the time I was like, look, you know, I'm on a poster telling my mates that are away from football. And it's nothing against them. There's a lot to try and deal with. And 25 years ago, it's different to now. You can't just get to everyone. So it's not that I hold that against them, but it really stuck in my brain. And the other point to that would be when going from a coach's badge, it's quite difficult. You'll know, yes, it's quite difficult to get on your A licenses. Being a PFA member, I can get on the senior pros course that the FA run. But someone advised me, said, look, you know, you're from this background. Speak to this person because I think they can help you. So I spoke to that person and they couldn't help. Again, nothing against them at all. But that sort of department or that person was trying to promote diversity, etc. And they didn't help. By the way, I'm not saying that they had to help or they should have done this, but when I look back, I go, I'm not sure if that was like helpful either. You know, was it because certainly the right skin tone for that help? Was it because I'm not a big name or whatever it is? And then as a coach developer, I will get this wrong, I promise, but I want to leave an impression where someone doesn't go, that person didn't help me out, you know, later on in their journey. So it was nothing against those guys, but those are two things that really stuck in the brain to go, okay, but that takes work to do that. If you want to impact everyone in a positive way, it takes a lot of work, right? And we won't always get it right. So I'm sure you probably have a lot more disgruntled people than me, but that's something that sticks in the brain to try and shape who I am and who I help and how I help.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, like I'll go back to what I said earlier. I think one of the key things that certainly for me in my role as a coach, I've got into this space because I want to help people. I enjoy this space because I like the idea of helping people. And I just get, you know, I'm fortunate enough, and I'm sure you'll share the passion in that with fortunate enough to be able to do that through something that we love, which is the game of football, right? And, yeah. You know, like you said, you want to be in a position where no one walks away from your interactions thinking, do you know what? That guy wasn't helpful. And not to say that you necessarily were able to do anything, but it's the concept of actually being able to help and actually offering to help and being there as a source of support, right? That is the most important thing within that. And if people can walk away thinking, do you know what? That guy's decent.
Yeah.
He made an effort. And I think that's the least you can expect or want from the interaction. Because, you know, we can't control what impact we have. We can't control, you know, one thing that impacts me might impact you completely differently.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think we can't control that.
And we'll get that wrong at times, definitely, because you misread where a person's at or anything like that. But it's our job to try, right? It's our job to try. So I share your passion 100%. Lucky and blessed to do this. And the more people, like you said earlier, we're trying to impact some people in a good way. Don't mean it's about me. So as long as they don't go away going, he didn't help me. That makes sense. So they might not really reflect and think, oh, Never was brilliant. That's okay. As long as they're taking some of the ingredients that we've given them away with them and using them. Don't care who they praise for it, but don't want them going away going, unhelpful.
Let's finish on that note then, Nev. Let me ask you this last question then. If there's one thing that you'd want people to take away from this, or even think about going forward off the back of this conversation, what would that be? What's one thing that you want to leave with them to start to think about if they're not already thinking about it?
Well, it's achievable. You just got to put the time in. That's as simple as I can put it. You don't have to be a masterful tactician. You don't have to be, the best person in the world at interpersonal skills. But you need to, if you put in the time and the effort, there's nothing that isn't achievable, for people in the game. And sometimes we can use our ethnicity to not put ourselves into the uncomfortable zones that are challenging. I think that goes hand in hand with, do it, go out and try it. Certainly if I'm in this role, there's no one that can't achieve that, that's for sure. So it's not no magic words, I'm afraid. But that's what I believe in. I think anything's achievable if you put the time in. But if you think you just want to turn up, do one course and you'll be, fantastic, it doesn't happen like that. I didn't become a coach developer and all of a sudden be the best coach developer there is. It takes time and that's ongoing. And sometimes I think that younger times is we want things, especially in this day and age, we want things bang now. That's not what gets you to the top, or not what I've seen anyway.
No, I'm with you on that. And I think it is definitely a generational thing as well. I think it's great to see that, the generation of coaches is getting younger and younger and more people are engaging in it and involved in it. But I do sometimes question, why coaching? Why coaching? Yeah. Is it because it's glamorous? Is it because you want to be put involved in the game? And if you want to be involved in the game, there's so many different paths for you. But it's also, like I said, it goes back to that saying I was talking about earlier when, you think about all some of the things that your parents told you, think, oh, mum and dad don't know what they're talking about. Well, actually they do, because they were us once, right?
They always know. I think, yes, just sorry to interrupt, just quickly on that, I guess. Obviously I'm a PFA, I work for the PFA, I am a member. That's what I promote, and we obviously want players in roles and coaching roles, etc. But two of the best examples I've heard of lately is one player was picking Liam Manning's brains on, because we've seen him work, he's excellent. And what Liam shared some stuff with him. I don't know what that stuff was, but he's like, but I've been doing this for 15 years. You understand? So we see him at the top end and that's how we know their name, but it's taken that journey. Brendan Rodgers was the same as with a player the other day who was like, oh yeah, under 14s. And he's, 30 now. And he's like, Brendan Rodgers was my coach. I'm like, I didn't even, because we see him at a thing and we think, oh, they've just become brilliant coaches. It doesn't work like that. It's that time that they've put in that we don't see, and we don't even hear about because they're not glamorous, that make them good at what they do.
100%. And I think it is definitely the stuff that you do, as they would say, what you do, what you do in the darkness is what comes to light eventually. But there was a darkness at one point, right? And it's what you're doing when people aren't looking. That's going to help you kind of really hone your skills and develop yourself outside of that. So, no, definitely a great point. Nev, It's been a pleasure, man. I really, really appreciate your time and your efforts to try and be with me in this conversation today. And I wish you all the best for your journey going forward, man.
Mate, honestly, I thank you for your time. It's been a brilliant time spent, and I've got loads of notes in my head that I'm going to make after the things that you've said. So thank you.
Amazing.
Well, there you have it, guys. Another episode of the Coaches Network podcast, where our aim is to bring the world of athlete, talent and personal development together to just one platform. And you can help us with that mission right now by sharing this episode or any of your favorite episodes with everyone that you can think of. You can tag us in those mentions as well on Instagram at the Coaches Network or on Twitter at the Coaches Net. We look forward to hearing from you. Let us know what you thought about today's episode. And until next time, guys, take care.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.